following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. This 296th episode in our march to 300. I don't know. Maybe we'll have a thing. I don't know. What do you do to celebrate? It's just a number. It's a milestone. It's a thing. It's whatever it is. It is the 20th day of October, the day of production for this. It's a Sunday. Hope it's going well for you, and a decent week ahead for you all is my hope and my wish for you, as we cruise through fall, if you will, the autumnal season. It's nice. It's people are getting out and about. You've been hunkering down in the summertime, doing outdoor activities and stuff. But people are going to the stores now, it seems. I don't know if they're holiday shopping early. Doubtful. But that could be a thing. And where did I go? I was at a Target this past week. And I went in there to go get a couple of items. They have a grocery section over there. And I was, since I work near there, I thought, the wife and I had decided we were going to have something for dinner. And I needed to go over to the store to pick up a few things. And so there I went. And much to their credit, their grocery prices are pretty reasonable. They're pretty good deal. So I go, and this is like, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not very busy. It's an okay deal, I'm figuring I can get in and out. I don't. By the way, Target, those of you over there that work there, the whole new layout thing, God, that blows. It's awful. I don't know where I'm going. You're running me through the store. I'm just looking for some mushrooms. That's all I need. Not those kind of mushrooms, you filthy animals. So I go through the store. And I get what I need, and I come back out, I'm back over at the register, and I've got one of those little, I didn't have a push cart, I had a buggy, as they say down in these parts. I had me one of them little hand baskets, and I had a few items in there. So I go, and I peruse the cash register situation, figure out which line seems reasonable to wait through, and there I go, and I'm standing there. And there was a lady there in front of me, and she had just a few items, as did I, and I figured she'd be out of there pretty quickly, and she was. It didn't take her too long. She was very pleasant. Everybody there was very, very nice. That was up until employee number one came up to me and said, "Hey, are self-checkout lines over here?" And I said, "I'm a pass. I've got an issue with that. I'm okay waiting right here. I'm trying to be cool, trying to be nice about it, trying to be polite, trying to be a good, decent citizen." And not 2 minutes later, another employee comes up and says, "You should really use the self-checkout." And I said, "No, I'm not going to." By this point, I'm like, "Oh, look, I already said no. I'm fine right here. The lady in front of me is already halfway through her purchase deal over there. In a moment or two, I'm there and I get to deal with a human being and everything is good." Finally, a third person came up to me and said, "I'll do it for you if you would like." And I said, "No." And it was, and I didn't pop off like I probably could have or should have. I'm trying to be a decent human being. Everybody else is being pleasant except for these three humps that are forcing this whole situation onto me. And I don't want this, as would anybody, I guess. And as I leave, I get what I need. I pay, I walk out the door and I'm walking toward the car. And it's just nagging on me, this whole situation with the self-checkout thing. And look, I've used it. We all have. It's a thing. I get it. Some people like it. Most appear not to really care for it. The thing rarely works. It breaks a lot. There's always a problem with it. Whatever excuses that you got. And I got to thinking about it, and the more I thought, the more it really just sort of infuriated me in a really dumb sort of first world problem. Why am I being forced to do this? Because I'll tell you, Home Depot's doing it. The Home Depot near my home, near where we live here in beautiful crime-free Cooper Young, they've done away with all human registers. It's all self-checkout only. I think they have like one that's there for assistance if things get out of control. And the idea that this is all being forced onto us, the consumer, is an issue. And I think that's what it was. It's not so much the machines themselves. It's like, this is how it's going to be. I get it. The technology is there. The stores are saving money. They're not going to have to hire a clerk. Everything is going to be a lot cheaper for them. They don't have, you know, if they're paying some hump $8 an hour, you know, they wipe out, you know, 12 registers and they put 12 automated ones in there. They save a lot of money. You can do the math and it makes perfect sense as to why you would want to do this on a financial or business level. Do I agree with it? No, I don't. And I'll tell you why. It just doesn't seem very, personable. Now, look, I have my issues with the public and people in general, but still, when it comes to something handling a transaction like this, I want to be able to keep a close eye on the situation. You know, I want to be able to, you know, talk with the clerk. I've gotten to know the clerks over at the grocery store that I tend to use. And we have little small talk while they're doing their job, and it's lovely, and I can kind of keep an eye on things, and you know, and everything's good. It's just it's the way I was raised, I suppose, and I think that's a lot of it. And I thought, well, you know, I could take to Twitter or I could take to Instagram or Facebook or wherever, and just be a complete ass about it and just bitch about it. No, instead, I'm doing it here. I thought of an idea. If stores really want. If they really, really want their customers to be using the self-checkout thing, then what they should do, my opinion here, they should offer you a 20% discount if you want to use it, or a 15% discount even. 10, no, that's stupid. 15 to 20%, somewhere in there. If you use your self-checkout thing, we'll give you a break. That's how they would get people used to using those, people like me, for using those infernal machines. Boy, I sound like an old cranky bastard, don't I? But that's just it. That would negate the idea of why they got rid of all their cashiers in the first place. It's just me thinking out loud. It's not worth really ranting about. Like I said, these things are here to stay. You know, you're going to be forced to use them. It's going to come a point now where you go to the store and it's just there's a stock guy and there's a manager and then that's really about it. There's somebody to sweep up at the end of the day. That's all there is. That's all it's going to be. That's the way it's going to happen. And, you know, c'est la vie. So on that, you know, that's just kind of what I'm feeling about it. That's not what we're getting into today, though. I'm going to spend a few moments talking about an interesting situation that has developed globally. We'll talk about it here in just a bit. It's called censorship. Yeah, it's my take on it. It's coming up next right after this here at Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
If you've been paying attention to the news here of late, then you no doubt have seen the big furor over what is going on in Hong Kong. Those that don't understand exactly what it is, here's the basic line. The city of Hong Kong, which is in southwestern China, right there on the ocean, they've had enough of China and their, you know, and Hong Kong is its own province. It has its own government. And it was under British control for a while. And then the Americans kind of had it, I think, for a minute. And everybody's turned it over to the Hong Kongers themselves or Hong Kongites or whatever they are. And that's the way it is. And now China's been sort of trying to impose their will onto these people. And these people are bitching about it, saying, you know, screw you. We want our own deal here. And we're not going to be influenced by what's going on. So for the past several months, there's been this enormous fight. All well and good. People are fighting for their democracy. People are fighting for their freedom. That's a good thing. It's been interesting to watch. Some of the stories that I had seen that come out of there, some of it was kind of horrifying. But still, you know, it's what's going on down there. And God love these people for standing up for what they want and what they need. And they're doing it in mass. Well, it presents an interesting problem because here in the United States, there are several, I guess, businesses, organizations, however you want to put it, that do a lot of business with the Chinese. The NBA is one of them. LeBron James got himself into a bit of a hot water, sticky mess. When he sort of supported China, the Chinese love basketball. they also love the basketball merchandise, and they spend a lot of money on the whole thing. So naturally, the NBA thinks that China is a worthy thing to keep around. So when somebody had said, somebody else had said that they did not support China, and that they actually said, you know, free Hong Kong, that's the way it goes. And the people, the powers that be, jumped down on this guy and said, hey, you can't be doing that because we get, you know, $55 million a year or something, $500 million, who knows? It's a lot of money a year from China in support of the National Basketball Association. LeBron James even came out and was sort of supportive of China. And the blowback was pretty big. People were a bit taken aback by this. And the reason was, it didn't really matter what these people individually felt. They knew where, they knew not to bite the hand that feeds them, and that's sort of the thing. And it brought to mind, too, the idea that perhaps somebody was telling these guys that they should really be, you know, not saying free Hong Kong. They should be in support of China. And when that happens, well, people are naturally going to be a little bent out of shape about it. And seriously, they didn't want to jeopardize the money that was laying on the table. So therefore, they're saying that you should, you know, maintain a pro-Chinese relationship. Well, you know, most everybody else in the free world is saying, no, screw you. You're only doing this to save the money, to keep the money, as it were. And it's, I don't know, it's a form of censorship. It really is. Because if your boss is telling you that you really can't be saying this or doing that because you're jeopardizing our business. Yeah, that is a form of censorship. And that's the way that goes. The idea here is you have to define what censorship really is. And censorship, it's somebody telling you what you can and cannot say. Okay. And it happens. We have certain decorum, certain bits of rules out there. You can't say, for example, on national television, you can't go out there and say motherfucker or cocksucker. These people tend to get a little worked up about that sort of thing, namely the FCC and some sensitive listeners in the audience. That's just the way that is. I'm using that as a very stark example, of course. And I get that because there's other ways you can do this sort of thing. Is it getting in the way of freedom of speech? No, it isn't. Because let me explain how that works. For those that aren't quite in the know, freedom of speech, the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, basically says that you have the right to say and feel however you want to feel. And the government cannot tell you what to say or how to express yourself or what you're supposed to believe, because you have your freedom of religion, you have the freedom and the liberty of life, liberty and the pursuit of happiness, or something to that effect. But that's not in the First Amendment, of course. But the First Amendment guarantees you the right to say whatever it is that you want to say without government intervention. What's unique about this idea is that when you have somebody, say, like we've brought this guy up before, Alex Jones, who has been booted off of social media because of some of the hateful things that he and his people have been caught up in. And that's a problem. I get that. That's a big problem. And when they booted him, all of them, YouTube included, they kicked his ass right on out of there. Immediately, there were people, his supporters namely, that sat there and said with a straight face that this was a violation of his First Amendment rights. That's bullshit. The government didn't kick him off. When you sign up for an account on any of those platforms, be it Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, wherever, you agree to abide by their rules. It's their platform. It's not belonging to the United States of America. If you don't like what's being said, then you have a choice. You can either choose to ignore it or not follow it, or you can go somewhere else or start your own deal. No one's stopping you from this. That's the idea. So when you look at what happened back in the NBA and with China and everybody getting a little worked up about these sorts of things, the idea then comes to mind, what is really dictating this speech? And I tell you what it is. And you're probably just as understanding of it as I am, because you people are smart. It's money. It's exactly what this is. There's so much money that's tied into it that don't want to upset that apple cart. If they're afraid of losing the China, how much money do you people really need? And where do you draw your line? If you have an idea in your mind about the way things, your personal feelings about certain things, and you, of course, you have that right to express them, But, you know, if the man's going to come down on you, so, you know, oh, Rick, I really wish you wouldn't talk about these sorts of things because, you know, we got a lot of money tied up in that. Well, you know, there comes a point, though, where my principles are worth a little bit more than that check. Seriously. You know, how many times has it been since I've been in this business where something had happened within the company that I worked for that made the news and that I had chosen to cover it? That was just being responsible. That's all that was. That's just being a responsible broadcaster. Did the bosses like it? No, they didn't like it at all. They want to sweep it under the rug and see if it'll just go away, which it doesn't. You know, well, I mean, every story has its news cycle. It peaks and ebbs and flows and it goes away. And then that's it. It's done and it's over. And it just goes into the dustbin of history. Most stories. But it's still, when you tie financial responsibility or financial demands onto the truth of the matter, then that's a problem. And that's a type of censorship that exists. It is legal. It is entirely legal for a company to tell its employees what they can and can't say in regards to that company. Sure, they don't want you out there bad-mouthing the company. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You can't operate like that. Having said that, you have to show a little bit of decency about what it is that's out there. So you piss off the Chinese. What's the worst they're going to do? Oh, we're not going to support the NBA anymore. Well, fine. Fuck off. You know, we'll go. There's plenty of other countries in this world that like it. And I know there's probably some of you that are sitting there listening to this going, Rick, you're being mighty general about all of this. And I am being rather general. And I'm painting this with a very broad brush. But I'm using this as sort of an example. That it should be okay for anybody in the world to have the right to complain about something. To have the right to say whatever it is that they want to say. All right, because here's the real issue here. Yes, you have a right to free speech, but you also have a right to put up with the responses of those of what it is that you said. There are consequences to your speech. You have to speak carefully. You have to choose your words in the right manner. Are you going to offend somebody? More than likely. Have I offended somebody with this show? Probably. Do I care? No, not in the least. Because when somebody gets offended, as I've said before, nothing happens. They'll sit there and they may, you know, oh, we're going to boycott you because, you know, you said blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like the unpopular thought of the week that I throw into this thing every week. And, you know, some people don't like it because that's the whole point. It's unpopular. It's not meant to be something that's for you. It's just my point, my take, my twist. You don't have to agree with me. I don't want you to necessarily agree with me unless you honestly do. You know, everybody that says stuff and somebody else really goes, oh, I really like what you said. You got to be careful. You can come across as a kiss ass like that. You know, don't like something because it agrees with you. You know, we're dealing with this right now. Look in the White House. I know this is going to piss some people off by me saying this, but, you know, this monster that's in the White House right now, you know, people that are his supporters, his diehard supporters are people that are, they don't care who's sitting in there as long as it's not somebody else, as long as it's somebody that they hate. You know, that's the direction that this sort of thing has taken. That's not healthy. That's not healthy at all, because that brings about all these really bad arguments that just never work. I mean, I think deep down inside, whether you're a Trump supporter or not, I think deep down inside, and you don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to say anything. You don't even have to admit to this. But you know deep down inside, some of the things that we have been witnessing, some of the things that we've been seeing and been a party to are wrong. It's just bad business for this country to do the things that we have so far had to endure for the past 3 years. This has been tough. It's been a rough road. And you don't have to look far. You know, don't look into your own country for this. Look at the reactions of the people outside of this country and what's being said. You know, there's all this twist. It's a he said, she said thing. It's this going on. It's finger point. It's all, oh, you know, Trump may be. It's like the people, the really religious people that go, oh, you know, God says to love everybody and all this other stuff. But you people that don't like Trump, y'all can go straight to hell. I know. It's just like these are the people that think the Bible and their faith and their Christianity and all that is a buffet. They can just pick and choose the parts that make sense to them.
I agree with this, but not with that. So I'm only going to side with that boy. It's in the same book, bitch. It's the way it works. You know, when they used to talk about, you know, like when Black Lives Matter became a little bit more of a thing that was out there and people were talking about it. Well, the people, obviously, clearly the racists were going, oh, well, there's, you know, all lives matter, too. Remember that? That ended quickly because somebody said, Muslims, you include Muslims in that? Mexicans? Anybody brown? You got a problem with that too? They their lives all matter to you? Well, that quickly shut them down because it exposed them for who they are. They were trying to say, well, white people matter too. Yeah, white people matter. White people are the ones that are responsible for most of the trouble that has gone on in here. I know that's an unpopular thought, from, especially amongst white people, but that's just the way it is. I'm a white guy. I can say that. I have no problem with that at all. Look at the mass shootings that have happened. Who caused it? You're not going to see a black guy doing that kind of stuff. It just doesn't happen. It's like methamphetamine. You ever notice that everybody that gets arrested carrying around that sporty drug, they're all a bunch of crazy white girls. That's what that is. But you're never going to see a black guy in trouble with meth because they know better. They've got enough trouble as it is dealing with all the politics in the world that surrounds them. It's not easy being black. I get that. They're certainly not going to add that crazy white man's drug to their list of things to have to worry about. Of course. You know, and God help you if you're a Hispanic person in this country, because that, you know, you must feel like there's a target on your back, or you're a young black man who's, you know, is out in public and is having to deal with the police. You don't know what's going on in people's minds, especially with law enforcement. That's something else that I'm sure will upset somebody, because they'll sit there and go, oh, Rick, blue lives matter too. Really? They do. I know they're human beings, and I know there's good cops out there, but you know what? There's also some bad cops too, and that has to be dealt with. That needs to be cleaned up and fixed up. We need to return to a sense of sensibility, for God's sake. How difficult would that be if we can all use just a little bit of common sense and maybe do what you Christians are saying? Maybe treat people the way you want to be treated. That's I know that's kind of heavy and kind of serious to lay down on a brother, but still, you know, Jesus said you're supposed to love everybody, especially your enemy. You know? Why is this difficult? And you see it in social media. If you pick one person who writes a lot of or posts or shares a lot of those religious posts and all this stuff, and you go to their page and you look through it, and it's like, you know, love this, love that, you know, Jesus is the, thank God for Jesus and all this stuff. And you get down there and you go, oh, Trump is the man, because look how he treats his people. Yeah, he puts children in cages. And before, some of you go, oh, that's what Obama did. No, he did not. That never happened. He didn't lose families. You know, I'm not saying that Obama was the best president of the world. He was not. There's no doubt about it. He wasn't that great. But he was still a lot better than this thing we're dealing with right now. Okay, now that I've said all of this over the past, 10 minutes or so, that may be unpopular, may have run some people off. I don't know. But here's the thing. Those types of statements that I have just laid out there is part of my First Amendment right as a citizen of the United States of America. I can sit here and say these things without fear of repercussions from the man, because that's just how this country works. Now, let's just say, for example, I'm a Chinese podcaster, right, or a Chinese broadcaster, and I'm in China, and I'm putting out a show like this, and then I say those things about Winnie the Pooh or whoever the president is over there, Xi Jinping. I mention Winnie the Pooh because the government doesn't want pictures of Winnie the Pooh on social media over there because it's an inside joke, and Xi Jinping gets his little feelings hurt when he sees Winnie the Pooh. But if I was a Chinese podcaster and I made similar statements just as critical of the Chinese government, I'd disappear. They'd pull me out of the street and no one would know where the hell I was. I'd be in a quote-unquote re-education center, you know, stuffing boxes with Christmas decorations to send over to the United States. That's what's going on. Not everybody gets to enjoy our freedom of speech, such as it is. And that's why it's a very sacred thing. As a broadcaster, as somebody who works in the business, man, I take full advantage of it. And you should too. But you have to understand, as I just displayed for you in that little bit of a rant about all the things that are kind of gone wrong here with our country or whatever. This is my points of view, by the way. It may be shared with a few people, but that's my points of view. I'm the one that just said it. It came out of my mouth. I'm not reading a script. It's a train of free thought and speech that goes with it. Having said that, I'm not afraid of the consequences of those speeches, of those things, of those words, those things that the statements that I made. If somebody hates me for it, that's your problem. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, such as it may be. And that's the way this world has to work. You should be able to stand up and say, you know, I get where you're coming from. I don't agree with you, but I'm still your friend. We've lost that. Lord have mercy, did we ever. We lost all of that. Talk about division, man. People used to talk, they used to bitch about, you know, well, the 44th president, Barack Obama, created the most divided country in the world. Look, yeah, there's probably some kernel of truth to some of that. There was a lot of division going on. Did he create it intentionally? No, he didn't. It's just there were racists involved, and now there's still racists involved, and it's 2019, for God's sake, and we've got the head racist in chief over there who is still causing these divisions. And these divisions have made it even worse. That wedge has been driven across or through this country in such a way that people have gotten to the point where they've lost their minds over what somebody else believes, what somebody else thinks, what people support, what people don't support. Personally, I have serious problems with Nazis, as I think any rational human being should, right? If I find that one has friended me on Facebook, I will unfriend them because I just don't need to associate with that kind of human being. But just because you're like a Trumper doesn't mean that, you know, that I can't disagree with you. But the second that I do, out comes the name calling. And that's the division. That's the problem that we have. Should we censor that? Absolutely not. The president is suggesting that maybe we should. He wanted to start his own news network now because Fox is beginning to turn their back on him as well. That's the point, because now all of a sudden the commander-in-chief of the United States government wants his own fan club, and he's not getting it. But he wants a list of reporters that write bad things about him, or people like me that say bad things about him, because they have to be on a list somewhere. Why? I don't give a shit. If you want to put me on a list, put me on a list. I don't care. What's the point of that? Is there something nefarious you're going to do with this list of people? Because if you are, there's a problem. That's an infringement of a human right. Whether it's me, whether it's somebody, maybe somebody else that I don't agree with, that they're doing something. You know, what was the old saying? Remember the film, The People versus Larry Flint? His own attorney basically sat there and told the Supreme Court, he goes, look, I don't like what the guy puts out. I don't like this. I don't like Hustler magazine. It's filthy. It's horrible. But I support his right to put it out there, because that's what this is about. That's the most important thing. Stand up for what you believe in. You know, don't be afraid. Don't be a coward. It gets you nowhere. You know what I mean? Stand up for yourselves. And don't, you know, believe everything people are telling you until you see it with your own eyes, and then speak up. And then, you know, just because, you know, you were told to like something doesn't mean that you have to. You know, if you've got a point of view about something, by all means, you know, stick to it. You know what I'm saying? Grow some balls. That's what I'm after.
Memphis' number one alternative smoke shop is your number one stop for all your CBD products, and now is your stop for Kratom. Get into the store and see what Kratom can do for you. Plus, Wizards has fall deals throughout the entire store. Woodwick candles, watches from Swell, tarot cards, figurines, and so much more. Take a look and order online at their new website, wizardsmemphis.com. 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown. Open 10 to 10 every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
So yeah, there's been a lot of talk here of late about network television and the dramas and stuff like that, because here in Memphis, we've had a show in production here up until the end of October. They stop. I'm talking about Bluff City Law. It's a, you know, it's a nighttime soap opera. It's set in a law office here in Memphis, and it's not a bad show. I've seen most every episode that they've put out so far, and it's okay. You know, is it great? No. If it was set somewhere else in Memphis, would I watch it? Probably not. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why this is. It's because there's this whole idea that these shows that start off are going to be just big time go get them deals, and they wind up dying on the vine because they didn't put them in the right time slots. That's a big part of it. It's tough getting a show on network television to do well because automatically they're going to throw you to the wolves. They're going to put you in the worst time slot they can be. In the middle of football season that maybe some people are watching, I don't know if it's going to work there.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, so there you go. That's what's coming up next time on the program. Got your unpopular thought coming up here in just a moment. But first, before I get out of here, I wanted to take a minute to, because I've been asked this a bunch, and I wanted to answer a question, or maybe a couple of questions. And I could probably devote a whole show to this, but I'm not going to. But I figured just, you know, a few moments on this topic right here would probably be a pretty good idea. Here in the Mid-South, over in West Memphis, on the west side of the Mississippi River, is a place called Southland Gaming and Racing. And they're about to drop the whole racing thing. And what's the racing thing? It's greyhound racing. And for, since the 50s, they've had dog races over there, and people would wager on them. And it's big fun. I've always enjoyed it. I've loved it so much that throughout the years, my wife and I have adopted retired racing greyhounds. We have like our fifth one, Duke. Those of you who go to my Instagram page can see pictures of him because, he's that good looking. That's what he does. Be that as it may, I'm kind of saddened. I get it. I mean, we saw it coming. We knew that this was going to be a thing, and at the in December 31st of 2022 will be the final greyhound race in the history of the Southland racetrack. And over that course of time, they're going to be cutting it down so they can get all these dogs a home. You know, that's what they're going to do, and there's not going to be a problem with it. You know. And it, I have been asked a lot about how I felt about it. And to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you this, and this ties into an unpopular thought. Greyhound racing is a good industry. It really is. It's been self-policed, it's been self-maintained, and it is also being overwatched by various commissions and organizations to make sure that the welfare of those dogs is always at the top of the pile, that it's always good. You cannot force a greyhound to run. Trust me on this. I've owned one. That's just how that is. They do it because they like it. They enjoy the racing. Some of them, when they get beat, get dejected. They do. When they lose a race, they get dejected. Or when they win, they get kind of cocky and they prance around. It's kind of cute, really. But by taking the greyhound racing out of the industry, there's other things that haven't been considered, and that is the jobs that people, and frankly, the dogs, are losing. Now, the dogs, they'll be fine. You'll find homes for them. They're not going to be breeding as much, but that brings up a point. You've now eliminated an industry of licensed, protected dog breeders, people that are doing this correctly and safely, with genetics in mind, with a whole, you know, the litany of the control and the care and the love that is given to these animals. From day one, start with the breeders. That's just how that is. On top of that, you're dealing with the handlers, the trainers, the kennel operators, and those that run the races themselves. At the track, there's a several group of people that are also involved in this. You've got the lead out guys. You've got the guys that work down in the paddock down there, those that care for the dogs before and after the race to make sure everybody's healthy. You've got veterinarians involved in all of this. Also, to make more out of this, you've got the dog food industry in a way. They don't eat commercial dog food. They eat a very special high-protein racing diet because they're athletes. That's how that works. And I'm saddened by that. My friend David Williams, he was a local writer for one of the magazines here, or papers here for a while. He's on doing something else, but he wrote a very poignant piece about that. And it was in combination to what had been said as far as a local newspaper. The Daily Memphian online has also spoken about it. And, you know, pro racing people understand what this is all about. Those that have sat there and said how cruel this is don't understand what this is all about. And, you know, it's never cruel with these dogs. It never is. They love it. They, you know, the dogs decide when their career is over. And, you know, that's what they do. The box opens up. They take a couple of steps out and go, fuck it. I'm going to go home. That's what they do. Thankfully, for the most part, they do like to do it, though. So that's a good thing. But I know it's an unpopular thought, you know, because I know a lot of people have said that they were glad to see that archaic activity has gone away. They don't have a, you know, they don't have a problem with it. Let's go. Let's get the dogs out of here. No more of that. But my problem is the hypocrisy that goes with it. Don't touch your horse racing. Is that right? 31 horses died at Santa Anita last summer. That was, or more than that. I know there's a lot more extenuating circumstances around it, but nothing's ever going to be said about horse racing because what? What was that word I heard? We talked about earlier. Money. There's a lot of money tied up in it, so they're going to protect it. So there you go. That's all of it in one quick shot. Coming up tonight, if you're listening to the show on the 20th of October, the day that it came out, coming up at 8 p.m. Central Time at radio-memphis.com. It's going to be a special show for us. We have Venice Thomas in the studio. Who is Venice Thomas? She is the sister, the younger sister to Carla Thomas. You've heard of her before. She's been on this show before, who had a couple of hits in the 60s. These two ladies are the daughters of Rufus Thomas, the world's oldest teenager. But Venice was also a backup singer for Aretha Franklin toward the, you know, toward the end of Aretha's career. She did it for quite a few years, and I think she was in 20 Feet from Stardom. Any rate, Venice will be in the studio tonight. We're going to talk about her illustrious career, and if that wasn't enough, we got some new music from her. So you get to hear her brand new solo record. That's tonight, 8 p.m. Central Time at radio-memphis.com on the Booze and Blues Show. Be sure and tune in for that. Boy, that sounded professional. Look, kids, I'm done. I'm out of here. Y'all take it light, right? Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.